Let's take our Bibles tonight and open up with me to Psalm chapter 61 as we return to our Selahs here in the Psalms. In American culture, as you're turning there, in American culture, it is not normal for a guy to be overcome by emotions. That's just not what normally happens. You do expect that out of women, right? That's fairly normal for ladies to get emotional. You expect them to get weepy while they're watching a Hallmark movie. You expect them to get emotional over good news or bad news. You aren't overly stunned when in the middle of a conversation, a lady can start crying. That doesn't surprise us much, but it does make us uncomfortable when guys do that. Imagine this. You go to Walmart, you see a group of ladies gathered, huddled together, chit-chatting. And they could be laughing one second and crying the next. And we're going to walk by and we're going, oh, that's a group of ladies. I mean, it didn't surprise us. But let's say there's a group of guys talking and you walk by and some guy just, everybody else is going to go, because it makes us uncomfortable. Because that's just not a typical normal thing for guys to do. I didn't say it was wrong. So if you're sitting here and you're an emotional guy, oh, he's picking on me. No, I'm not. Quit crying. I'm not. No, I'm not. I'm really not. I'm just saying it's not what we expect. It's just not the typical thing. But I do think that's maybe cultural. And I think that's part of American culture, and it's not a part of other cultures. So, again, I'm not making fun of it, okay? It sounds like I am, but I'm really not. But in our American culture, that is something that we're probably not the most comfortable with. If you were to go back to Middle Eastern culture, where our Bible characters were at, it would be very, very common to see men crying, and not just crying, but wailing very loudly that everybody around could hear. That would be a normal thing. And that's what we find here in Psalm chapter 61, where our next Selah is at. The Bible says, hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings. Selah. Hear my cry, O God. This isn't just a call, a shout out to God. The word cry means to be overcome and to ring out that cry. We might think of David here as a wailer. That if he was in hiding in a cave, it was a dead giveaway, his position. Because that crying would have just echoed out of that tomb, out of that cave, and the sound would have reverberated off of the walls, and it would have just went out of there like going through a megaphone. People would have heard this. And the Bible doesn't tell us in the other Psalms that we had looked at with the Selahs here recently, it told us what was going on, and we could go back to an Old Testament passage. And it gave us a little bit of a hint as to maybe where David was at that moment. This one here doesn't tell us. We aren't told the reason for his emotional outburst. We are not told the timing. We are just told that he is overwhelmed and he doesn't care who hears him cry. He is going to cry out to God. He is so overwhelmed with this emotion. Now, okay, David, you're crying. What is it that you want us to hear? And tonight that's what we want to look at. What is it David wants us to hear? What is it that God wants us to hear from David's cry? The first thing is this. I admit that there is nothing in me to fix me. I admit that there is nothing in me to fix me. You say, where do you get that? David says, I am overwhelmed. Everyone thinks that I am a rock, but I'm not. Instead, I am going to the rock that is higher than I. Keep your marker here. Go with me to Deuteronomy 32. Deuteronomy chapter 32. And actually what David is showing us is that this is one of the best places to come to in our life. Where we run out, we exhaust ourselves of self. And we cry out to God and say, God, I am overwhelmed. I can't do anything. I am desperate. In Deuteronomy 32 and verse 30. The Bible says this, how should one chase 1,000 and two put 10,000 to flight except their rock had sold them, and the Lord had shut them up. For their rock is not as our rock. Notice that's capitalized. Their rock's not as our rock, even our enemies themselves being judges. Go to the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 22. 2 Samuel, chapter 22. And look with me at verse 32. 2 Samuel 22, 32. The question is asked, for who is God save the Lord? And who is a rock save our God? 1 Corinthians says this, and they did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. As I said, this is one of the best places to come to in our life. David says, I have nothing in me to fix me. I can't sit back and will things to go better in my life. I can't solve the problems that have showed up, whatever those problems might be. I can't fix me. So I'm going to the rock that's higher than me. How many times, honestly, do we look at ourselves as that rock? That rock that has the answers. That rock who can figure it out. That rock that is everybody's go-to person, that when things are down, hey, let's go to that person because they can figure it out. And David was that kind of an individual. He was a problem solver. David was a great warrior, as we're going to see in a little bit. When there was a battle on, who did you want fighting that battle against the enemy, especially the Philistines? Call David. Doesn't matter his size, just call him. He's got this. But David had the battle not because he was a rock, but because his feet were planted on the rock. And Christians, tonight, you might be dealing with something. Ask yourself something honestly. Are you still trying to fix this yourself? Or are you overwhelmed, crying out to God and saying, Dear God, I'm not a rock. You're the rock. And so I'm coming to you. I'm overwhelmed. I need you to take care of this. Often we get frustrated because God isn't moving as quickly as we would like. And so we take matters into our own hands. And you know what happens? We frustrate ourselves. I frustrate me all the time. We frustrate ourselves because if we think God can't fix it and we're going to take matters into our own hands, what did we do when we tried to fix it? We just made a worse mess, didn't we? And now the problem is exponentially worse. And then how many times we say, God, where were you in all this? Why didn't you handle this? And God's saying, you took me off the case. You fired me. You said, I'm going to do this. So I thought, well, I'm going to let you. And now you're crying out to me and it's a worse mess. Here's the good thing, folks. The mess can never be too bad for the rock to take care of it. He can take care of anything. And that doesn't justify us to let things keep getting worse and worse and worse. We ought to go to the rock early. But when we find out that we have taken matters into our own hands and we've gotten exhausted with our own self-efforts and we quit something, we leave something, we do something else, only to find that it didn't solve the problem. Finally, we are so overwhelmed and we cry out, God help me. Tonight, Christians, let's get there sooner than later. Let's get to that rock a whole lot quicker. Let's practice that early in life, and let's not look at problems and say, oh, this is easy. I'm going to do this. No, let's take everything that comes along in our lives and make it a matter of prayer. Now I do know some folks, if they say, well, I'm going to pray about this, that can mean 10 weeks later before you ever get an answer. And I'm not suggesting that. I am suggesting that we take everything before the Lord in prayer. I mean, give it over to God and say, okay, God, what do you want me to do here? You're in a store shopping and you think you know what you need. Do you pray about it and ask God to help you with it? Can I share your story? Okay, I had to get permission first. Sometimes it's easier to ask forgiveness than permission, but not when it's involving your wife. Never. Get permission first. I told other people about this. That's the person you want praying for you. I've never seen faith like her faith. She's doing something, some kind of decoration for the Dorcas Circle. And she had told me that she'd asked the Lord to drop one of the limbs of our pine tree because she needed those needles, green. I don't have a ladder tall enough to get up to where those are at, and I'm certainly wasn't going to try to get to those. And so she's praying that the Lord would just kind of drop it in her lap. Well, not in her lap. She did pray that the Lord wouldn't drop it on the house or on the garage. What day was it? Thursday? How long have you been praying about that? For 2 weeks, been praying for a limb to fall. The party is this coming Thursday. This past Thursday, I come out of the house. I took a picture. And here's this massive limb with all these green pine needles. I'm like, well, I wasn't saying amen at the moment. Because I'm looking, it's like, where'd that come from? Because there was no spot that I could see where that limb came down. So I snapped a picture of it and I says, there's your answer to prayer. And it missed the garage by about this much. And it's just laying right there. And I mean, it's a big one. She says, well, I guess, you know, when the Lord answers, I didn't need one that big, but he blesses abundantly. So now I'm a little afraid. I'm like, how many more coming down, Lord? She only needed one, no more. I mean, you take something like that to the Lord in prayer? She did. We got a limb. And I told her, I says, oh, get this one. She was going to go right out and take the needles off. And I says, no, I says, don't do that. I said, that limb shouldn't have fallen. That thing is still bleeding sap. It was still green. That shouldn't have fallen. That should have stayed put. A dead one should have come down. That's as green as it can be. And I says, leave it on there because you don't want to take the needles off and they dry out brown and all that, and then they're no good and they won't be the green that you want. Well, my father's not going to give me anything dead. Just that blunt knot. I'm like, okay. Leave the limb. I'm not fighting it. I'm fighting God and my wife. That is a loss every time. It ain't going to happen, you know? Take everything to the Lord. There's nothing too little, nothing too insignificant. And my problem is I'm learning that. Whereas my wife has learned that and has practiced that for years. And I am still learning that. I think I'm getting better. But there's days like that limb coming down that I'm thinking, no, I'm not. No, I'm not. So take everything to the Lord. Go to the rock. Nothing's too tiny to ask him for, and we need to learn to turn what we would think of as the tiny stuff over to him, the little stuff, the insignificant things. Turn that over to him so that we have built a habit, a progression, that when bad stuff happens in our life, big things, I mean just horrific things, we're already in that mode. We've already been talking to the Lord about everything else. Well, this is just, we're just working our way up. This is a little bit bigger than the last thing. Okay, Lord, here we go. And leave it with the Lord. Here's the next thing. What else is he crying about back in this psalm? He says, essentially, I'm not afraid or ashamed to go into hiding. I am not afraid or ashamed to go into hiding. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I, for thou hast been a shelter for me, a strong tower. I will abide in thy tabernacle. I'm hiding out with you. Why is that so important? Let's go back to this whole guy thing. Let me set it up this way. David had wanted to build the temple for the Lord, a dwelling place for the Lord. And he sent his friend Nathan, inquire of the Lord. Nathan comes back and says, God said no. I think David would have been disappointed because he really, really wanted to do this. His motivation for doing this was because he looked at all he had. He looked at the palace he lived in. And he says, why should I live in such a wonderful place like this? And there is not a house of the Lord for the people to come and meet with God. I want to build this for the Lord. And God said no. This is all found in 1 Chronicles 17. You can read this tonight later when you get home. In verses 11 and 12 of 1 Chronicles 17, God lets David know that his son Solomon is going to get to build this. And instead of David being mopey and grumpy about it and like, well, I wanted to do it, he prays God. Do you remember why David was not allowed to build the temple? We don't find that out until a few chapters later. You got to get to chapter 22. And David is told, or David tells, he knows, because he was a man of war. He had shed blood. And the Lord's house was not going to be built by a man of war, but by a man of peace. Why is that significant? A man of war is a warrior. A man of war does not go into hiding. When the enemy is coming in, everybody else is running, but the man of war is running full steam ahead to where the enemy is at. That's our first responders. That's our military. They are going into the places where everybody else is running from. That's what a warrior does. They don't go into hiding. And we would make it the analogy that going into hiding is cowardice. And he says, I'm not a coward. I'm just confident in going in to hide in the Lord. Because I know who fights these battles. And I'm going to hide myself with the Lord. In 1971, Corrie ten Boom wrote the famous book, The Hiding Place. The title had a twofold meaning. The first meaning of the hiding place was what the ten Boom family did. They hid the Jews from the Nazis during the Holocaust as you know, and that's what got them into trouble. It was their hiding of the Jews. But the hiding place is also based off of Psalm 119 and verse 114. Thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word. Corrie ten Boom, her sister, they were thrown into prison camps. They were stripped down naked. They were left there like that as they watched others stripped down naked, violated, all sorts of horrific things done. And yet she writes about the Lord being her hiding place, her place of refuge. The horrific things that happened to her, I would call her a warrior. As they went to hide the Jews, that family was a bunch of warriors. Some in that family died for what they did. Others lived but were horrifically treated and violated. And yet God was their hiding place. Do we understand tonight that God has got to be our hiding place? Regardless of what is going on, He has got to be our shelter. He has got to be our stronghold. He has got to be our defender. He has got to be the cleft in the rock where we hide ourselves. And tonight, I don't know what anybody is going through, but I encourage you to run to the Lord. Run to Him. Here's something else in this psalm that David cries out. He says, I will trust in Thee. The last part of Psalm 61, verse 4, I will trust in the covert of Thy wings. Selah. Go to Psalm 37. Psalm 37. Verse 3. Psalm 37 and verse 3 says, trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. I will trust in thee. Dr. J. Don Jennings was president at Tennessee Temple when we were there. And he's now got a website that has a lot of good practical tools on it and things like that. He gives this story. He says, I had a neighbor who was a hand-wringing fretter. When not otherwise occupied with work that required the use of her hands, she would wring her hands constantly and verbalize pessimistically, regardless of the subject being discussed. If we spoke about the nice weather, she would say, yes, but it might rain. If we said, your lawn looks nice, she would reply, yes, but it might die this summer. If we said the Lord really met with us at church on Sunday, she would respond, yes, but the devil's out to get us all on Monday. You couldn't win. She was in a negative mood, objective case, and with a restless disposition. Living a life of true and total trust in the Lord will affect our attitude in every area of life. Therefore, I will not fret, I will not fail, I will not fear, I will not frown, and I will not fail. These evidences are just some of the testimonies. The trust is more than a truth that we talk, but a life that we live. Down at the bank the other day, I saw an office door marked Trust Officer. He's the fellow to see if you want to set up a trust fund. Many Christians trust the human trust officer, but do not trust the holy trust officer. Our holy trust officer is too good to be unkind and too wise to make mistakes. Put your trust where God puts your sins. He puts them on Christ. Psalm 62. Go to that psalm with me. Let's add another Selah tonight. Psalm 62, verses 5 through 8 talks about this trust. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in the Lord. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. One more thing. Back to Psalm 61. Isn't this neat how his thoughts overlap in other chapters? It's like, and you know that the psalm, or that the scriptures as a whole, it was just one big continuous thing. And somebody years and years ago put in the chapter divisions and the verse breakdowns to help it be more readily read and easily understood. So this is just a continuation in his thought here. But back in Psalm chapter 61 and verse 4, I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. The final thing that he has for us tonight is this. I am not a defeatist, nor am I depressed when I say I want to go home to heaven. I am not a defeatist, nor am I depressed when I say that I want to go home to heaven. Amen. Let's say you go into the hospital tonight. You go into the emergency room and they ask you different questions and all that kind of stuff. And you look at the person asking you the question and say, you know, I'm just ready to go home to heaven. How are they going to interpret that? I'm suggesting that you be very careful saying that, because if you do, you're going to get a psych eval. And that's unfortunate. But they're looking at you going, oh, this person's suicidal. This person is just, they're depressed. Oh, we got to put them on depression medication. It's like, no, I'm a Christian. As I get older, I look forward more and more and more to going home to heaven. And boy, today, since I'm here in your emergency room and you've poked me 50 times and you're wanting to run all these tests, now would be a great time. That is not defeatist. That is not depressed. That is the cry from a child of God who knows the best is waiting for us. Amen. Wow. David sees this as his ultimate answer. Free from the problems in life, safe from all the enemies that have been chasing him and all that kind of stuff, able to worship God directly in a place where the enemy is banished. Never can come through. The psalmist said in Psalm 26 and verse 3, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's not talking about a church service. We don't want you to stay in here forever. God doesn't want you to stay in here forever. This isn't a little Baptist commune where we can all flee the world and we can just come together and just be in our commune. You know, we'll all start wearing robes and braid your hair and put little flowers in a thing around your head. No, God doesn't want us doing that. He wants us to come here. We have this time of encouragement with one another, but he wants us to get out there into that world. Amen. And be a witness and a testimony for him. Amen. He wants us to live for him out there. But I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And that day is coming, isn't it, Christian? Now that's a Selah moment. No wonder David is crying this stuff out. And tonight, maybe you need to cry out to God with whatever your situation is that you're going through. Make tonight the night, Christian, that you would cry out to God. Maybe you're here as a lost person. God is waiting to hear one cry and one cry only. And that is, dear God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Lord, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Savior, that he is the Son of God, that he is the one that came, that we celebrate at Christmas time so that we could celebrate his resurrection at Easter, because he died on a cross for my sins and he arose from the grave. And I believe that Jesus wants to save me tonight. And I repent tonight, Lord, and I believe the gospel. I call on the name of Jesus to be saved. Lost person, cry that unto God, and he will save you. You don't have to scratch your head tonight and say, well, I try it, but I don't have a whole lot of hope. I don't know if he will or not. I know that he will. You say, well, how can you know that? Because he promised. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, not might be saved. We hope they get saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, finish it out. That's a promise. That is a guarantee. So tonight I can tell you, if you are lost, it is a guarantee that if you will cry out to the Lord for salvation tonight, he will save you. But you got to take him at his word. You have to make that decision tonight. Tonight you need to receive Christ as Savior. Would you do that? Stand with me, please, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Our Heavenly Father, tonight we give thanks for Jesus. We give thanks, Lord, for the fact that we can cry out to you and never with any shame or embarrassment. Our tears can flow freely. Whether we be male or female tonight, it doesn't matter. Whether a child or an adult, we can cry out emotionally if that's how we're wired. We can cry out stoically, but we can cry out to you. And we thank you, Lord, for being willing to answer and to meet those needs that are in our life. Tonight, deal with the Christian and the areas that you've been working on them with. But tonight, especially if there's one here without Jesus as Savior, we pray that this would be the night of salvation for them. And we ask it all in Jesus' name.